You're listening to Proven Perspectives, a podcast with John Hawkins, the founder of Leadership Edge Incorporated. I'm Laura, John's daughter, and in each episode, we will explore a topic related to life, leadership, or mentoring. Through nearly 50 years of faith in Christ, John has learned proven life and leadership perspectives that will equip listeners for a lifestyle of leadership in their marriages, families, careers, communities, and churches. Hi, Dad.
Hey, how are you?
Great. Great to hear your voice.
And the same.
Yes. Okay, so last time we began a 7-episode series on the Leadership Edge vision statement. And so in the first week, we talked about why a biblically based, God-centered life vision is important. And so today, we'll begin examining the vision statement. So, Dad, would you start us off by sharing the Leadership Edge vision statement?
Yeah, the personal vision statement is this: by God's grace, to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory.
Awesome. Okay, so today let's talk about the first phrase, by God's grace. So what does it mean to act by God's grace?
Well, what it means to act by God's grace is that you've realized your dependence upon Him for everything. And you realize that for your life to be well lived, it's got to be fueled and guided by the grace of God. So we put by God's grace on the front end just because we realize it can't be a life well lived for the Lord unless it begins with God's grace.
Awesome. Okay, well, and it's interesting because we usually think of a personal vision statement being about what I'm going to do, how I'm going to accomplish my goals. And the Leadership Edge personal vision statement does get to the action in the next phrase, so to step forward, but by God's grace is first. Why?
Well, it's interesting. When we first drafted the personal vision statement, it didn't start with by God's grace. It just started with to step forward as God's man or woman in my spheres of influence to serve His purposes for His glory. And so one day I was meeting with this pastor friend of mine and telling him about this vision statement we were going to use in mentoring next generation leaders. And I started it out and started it with, you know, to step forward and not with by God's grace. And I looked at my friend, and he's a really close friend, and I could tell that he was clearly agitated and even almost incensed. And I'm looking at him, and I'm thinking, you don't like this. And he said, I don't like it at all. And I said, why not? And he said, you know, all those driven, type A, achievement-oriented young professionals and students that you mentor? And I said, yeah. And he said, yeah, I can see them hearing this vision and say, you bet, I'm going to go out and accomplish this for God. And never realize that apart from the grace of God, it just will never happen. And boy, when he told me that, I was like rebuked and extraordinarily blessed all at the same time, because I realized if this is going to be honorable to the Lord, it's got to be dependent upon Him. And you know, the scripture passage that really fuels my thinking in this is in Ephesians chapter 2. We'll start with verse 1, where it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience. And it says, among whom we all once lived. And it just goes on and on. And it's just talking about before we came to Christ, we were dead and we were not able to do anything that was going to be pleasing to the Lord. But then in verse 4, it says, but God, being rich in mercy because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And then it goes on, and then there's that wonderful verse 8 and 9 where it says, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. And so when I heard my friend say what he said, and then when I considered that in light of Ephesians 2, I just knew this vision statement has to start with by God's grace, and not just It needs to be worded that way, but it has to be practically understood that way.
Yeah. Man, Dad, that is so good and like such a, I love that story. That's such a powerful story. And I can relate so much to that because I struggle very deeply at times to really live by God's grace instead of being driven by my performance or the accolades of others.
Yes.
And can just get so like knotted up inside, filled with pride on one end, or if I'm not measuring up, despair, just believing everything hinges on me. So, like, give me an example or help me to understand, like, what does it look like? Describe like a day or even a moment of what it really looks like for a person who is living by God's grace and acting in God's grace.
So in terms of like what it looks like, the best thing I've been able to come up with, Laura, in terms of my own life as an indicator of am I living by God's grace or am I not, it tends to involve my prayerfulness, meaning as I go through the day, am I praying to Him? And I don't mean necessarily every second of the day, though that would be great to get to, but more just that I'm realizing my need, my weakness, my dependence upon Him as I go from meeting to meeting, as I go from phone call or web meeting to the next, as I engage with our family or other kinds of things. Am I expressing my dependence upon God's grace by prayerfulness? That's the best indicator that I've been able to see. You can certainly, you know, build in prompts, say like this Ephesians 2:1-9. You can put that in front of you on your desk or on your car visor or something like that. But even with that, I think it still has to ultimately get down to prayerfulness. Am I going to God with my need?
Yeah, that's good. Am I going to God with my need? Really good. So there's a Tim Keller quote that you emailed me recently that I loved, and I think it's relevant here. So here's the quote, and then maybe we could discuss it a little bit. The quote you sent is, "The Bible's purpose is not so much to show you how to live a good life. The Bible's purpose is to show you how God's grace breaks into your life against your will and saves you from the sin and brokenness you would otherwise never be able to overcome. Religion is, if you obey, then you will be accepted. But the gospel is, if you are absolutely accepted and sure that you're accepted, only then will you ever begin to obey. And those are two utterly different things. Every page of the Bible shows the difference." That is an awesome quote. And the big thing that I took away from that quote is that there's no way that I'm ever going to really live to serve God's purposes for God's glory unless I really understand both how desperately I need His grace and what His grace has saved me from.
Yeah.
Is that, I don't know, I guess when you hear that quote, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, well, it's a great one. I mean, how do you ever argue with a Tim Keller
quote?
But,
seriously.
But you know, I'll just pick out a few phrases that really go deep with me. Where he says, "The Bible's purpose is to show you how God's grace breaks into your life against your will and saves you from the sin and brokenness." That's the reality that any of us who have come to faith in Christ, that's what we know. It broke into our lives. And then he gets down to, but the gospel is, if you're absolutely accepted and sure you're accepted, only then will you ever begin to obey. And I think Tim Keller is getting at just the transformation of having received the grace of God, and especially understanding that kind of wrapped up in that grace is, I am accepted. I don't have to prove anything. I don't have to control anything. I don't have to, in a sense, do anything other than just to respond to Him in faith every day. So I think that as we're talking in the personal vision statement about by God's grace, this is just adding some more meaning or nuance to it. And it's kind of also pushing us a little bit. In our next episode, we're going to be talking about to step forward. And I think Keller's kind of anticipating that here by saying, you know, it's only as you've experienced the grace of God that you're ever going to be able to step forward in a way that honors and pleases him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it sounds like what you're saying is, so prayerfulness is a big indicator of whether or not we're living by God's grace, and then that we can't really live by God's grace unless we are, I don't know how consciously you do this, but stopping and just recognizing our dependence on him, our need for him, what he has done for us. Is that something that you, throughout the day, do you stop and just reflect on that? Or I guess, how do you keep that at the forefront?
Well, one thing is, at least on a weekly basis, I read this Ephesians 2, 1 through 10 passage. Yeah. I tend to read it every Sunday. And so that's a way to keep it in front of me. But another thing is, in the Christian church, there's been for centuries what they call the Jesus Prayer. Hmm. And the Jesus Prayer is this: Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. And I found that as I pray that through the day, just as kind of a reminder, it helps me to remember my need for him.
Mm-hmm.
And it puts me in a position where, as he hears that prayer, you know, he gives the grace that's needed.
Hmm.
So yeah. I've begun to find, especially honestly in the last maybe month or two, just how helpful a redirect and kind of a reset the Jesus Prayer can be for me during the day as I'm kind of moving from one thing to the next, or as I feel like I'm just kind of sinking into myself or into fear or doubt or despair or something. It seems like when I pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner, that it kind of resets me.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what I'd say to that.
Yeah. Well, and it's very impactful. Like, it's striking to be around a person who really is operating with an understanding of God's grace. And I don't mean to put you in an uncomfortable position, but Dad, like, you are definitely a person like that for me who, I mean, certainly you don't do this perfectly, but there really is a sense, as, you know, as you talk, as you just express things about how you're viewing life or responsibilities, that this really is something you're not just saying, but that you really do have an understanding of your need for God and a humility of, like, that it's not your strength but God's strength, and just, I don't know, it really is compelling to be around people who are living by God's grace. And so I was going to ask you, I guess, what do you see as the impact on others when we are really living under God's grace or by God's grace? What are the benefits for them? Or conversely, I guess, how are they negatively affected when we aren't relying on God's grace?
You know, I think two ways come to mind. As we're experiencing God's grace in our own lives, we're a lot more able to extend that grace to others.
Mm-hmm.
And really to extend it in the same way that it's been extended to us, meaning not necessarily that they deserve it in the moment, but it's given freely because it was given freely to us. And, and when you ask a question, you also posed it negatively. The downside is, if we're not walking in the grace of Christ, when I'm not walking in the grace of Christ, then I start using people, I start reacting to people, I start being irritated by people.
Mm-hmm.
It's like somehow when I'm not tapped into God's grace, then how I think of others and how I impact others just tends to go kind of in a negative way.
Mm-hmm.
So that's one thing, but I think the other thing is the grace of God is just so free. And, and you know, I think in this crazy kind of era and time that we live in, we're all looking for freedom. We're all looking for peace.
Totally.
And it's just so good to know, again, Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, by grace I've been saved through faith, and that not of myself. It is a gift of God.
Yeah.
There's nothing I could do to deserve it.
Yeah.
Not as a result of works that no one should boast. So the second thing is just give such a great sense of freedom.
Mm-hmm. Totally. Yeah, it really is like a breath of fresh air to be around people who are like living out of that truth, or to even read those passages in scripture and kind of be reminded, oh yeah, like this is really the truth, you know?
Yeah. And one thing I'd add to this, Laura, is, you know, we talk a lot, because I'm a part of Leadership Edge, about leadership. And I think that one of the things that's I just said about when I'm tapped into the grace of God, I'm better around people.
Yeah.
I think for those of us who are in leadership positions, when we're tapped into God, then we not only, in a sense, treat people better, but we also have kind of a grace-filled perspective to guide our thinking about where it is that we as a group of people in this organization or this family need to go. Because I see in my own life, if I'm not really aware of my need for Christ, if I'm not looking to Him for His grace, then as I start thinking about my responsibility to lead, I either just kind of tend towards things that aren't particularly effective, or I just kind of collapse in on top of myself because I'm just basically self-focused rather than Jesus-focused.
Yeah. Yeah. Man, this is all so good. Yeah. Well, we are about at time. Dad, thanks so much for chatting. I think there are a couple of takeaways for me from this one. I think one, what you said about one of the big indicators of our dependence on God's grace is how prayerful we are as we're moving through our day and our responsibilities. So that was really helpful for me. And then also just going back to that story that you shared near the beginning, but about I think you said something along the lines of, for a life to be well lived, it must be fueled by God's grace. And just the idea that otherwise it's not really for His glory, even if we're accomplishing things, it's not honoring to Him. So anyway, thanks so much, Dad. This was a great conversation.
Oh, thank you, Laura. It's good to be with you.
Yeah.
Listeners, if you would like to find out more about John's thoughts on life, leadership, and mentoring, please go to the Leadership Edge website at www.lead-edge.com. Or if you have questions or ideas of topics for future podcasts, please reach out to us at lai@lead-edge.com. We look forward to hearing from you.